Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pro Bowl left tackle Joe Staley of the San Francisco 49ers. Welcome to the 49ers.com Niner Talk Podcast. Here's your host, Taylor Price.
Welcome back to another edition of the Niner Talk Podcast on 49ers.com. Taylor Price. I'm joined by a special guest. He had the best touchdown of minicamp. We'll get to that in a second. Daniel Kilgore, third-year lineman for the San Francisco 49ers. And Daniel, you can follow him on Twitter, at DanielKilgore67. Kilgore, we just wrapped up a three-day minicamp. Guys are breaking off for a month here. But tell me about the work that you guys did. You were rotating with the first team, getting a lot of snaps at center, opportunity. It had to be a great opportunity out there just to work with these guys and sharpen up for training camp.
Oh, for sure. It was just a great time. You know, the past 3 days as an offensive unit, we've done so much and we got so much in and worked so long and we worked great with each other. And, you know, just for me stepping in when John's not in and taking all the reps with the ones, that's great. You know, I take full advantage of my opportunity. Came out every day with the best attitude I could have, and you know I did what I could, and I hope I did it good, you know. So it was just great to get out and work with them, work with Cap again, because I spent so long snapping with Cap and everything. But it's nice to get back with those guys and work with them.
You were playing tackle in college, so now you're snapping the ball, playing interior. I mean, it's got to be a whole change of pace for you. But these last few years, you've mastered it, you've learned it. Tell me about snapping and how challenging that is when you're in pistol formations, zone read things. You know, getting the ball out there quick and learning from Goody, because he's one of the best in the league at that.
Yeah, in college, I played mostly tackle and guard, and a little bit of tight end. Actually, in high school, I was a 3-year starter at center, and our quarterback was a throwing quarterback, West Coast style all the way. So we was in gun all the time. So as a sophomore, I learned how the shotgun snap, really got it down, and now it's become second nature to me. You know, I don't think about my snaps or anything. They're all generally in the same area each time. So now I just try to challenge myself and placing it to where Cap wants it. So, you know, it's become second nature. And coming in, being a center or a guard at the pro level, you know, that's helped me the best. So I don't have to worry about my snaps. I worry about my assignments and what I'm doing with my teammates.
Yeah, you got to be versatile as an offensive lineman, especially with this offense. They expect so much athletically. And then in the field goal period, let's just tell the fans all about that epic moment that you had. It was a low snap. Andy Lee rolled out, threw it up in the back of the end zone, and who was there but number 67 in the red. Out jumped two defenders. I think it was Paris and Ian Williams. I'll let you just take over the story from there.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't designed, you know, but it's just something that we have in the book, you know, just precautionary, just bad snap, I'll roll out. And, you know, Andy had the faith of just throwing up the ball, and P-Town, Paris, he was around me, and then Ian caught up with us, and we all three went up for it, and they got a good hand on it, and I got one hand on it. And then finally, as I was coming down in the end zone, falling into the end zone, I looked over my left shoulder, and there it was in my hand. So I just grabbed on as hard as I could and didn't drop it. So it was pretty exciting. It set the tone for the second day of minicamp, and the offensive line, they really appreciated it.
Yeah, no, I put out there on Twitter that you were making your case to be the number two wide receiver with Anquan Boldin. But, no, you left off the best part was the natural reaction that you had. You didn't flip it. You didn't spike it. What did you do?
Yeah, so I really did not plan on it at all. If I had a plan, I would have done it a lot better. But, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was Terrell Owens. You know, he was one of the greatest to celebrate. And being part of the 49ers, I think he was the one that pulled out the Sharpie. So, you know, I act like I pulled out the Sharpie and I signed the ball and I tossed it over to Paris and he caught it. So, you know, just that was the one thing that came to my head. You know, if there was any cheerleaders, I would have grabbed the pom-poms or whatever and shook it with them. But, you know, that was the first thing that came to my head.
No, definitely was a highlight of camp. I mean, there's a lot of great receptions today. Some of the tight ends, receivers are definitely making some big plays. But I want to switch gears here and ask you about some things you did back home before training camp or for mini camp. You were the Food City 500 starter, which I know as a Tennessee boy, that was a big thrill for you. Just tell us about what that was like for you. I know you were going to the racetrack early as a kid, and to go back and to kind of have that moment, that must have been a big thrill.
It was, for sure. Been going to the race for quite some time now. my house that I have back in Tennessee, it's less than 5 minutes from the Bristol Motor Speedway. So we go to every spring race that I can go. The fall race is always during football, so it's hard to get over. But, I really wanted to go to the race again. Didn't have tickets. Got in touch with a couple people, friends of mine, and they directed me to a lady. And she's the one that actually got in contact with me and asked me to be the honorary starter with, University of Tennessee's head coach. He was the guy to say to start your engines. But it was a great experience, you know, growing up, watching the race and seeing Bristol before it was the big Coliseum. 118,000. You know, I remember going to the races and it'd just be 35,000 to 50,000. Now it's over 100,000. It's just amazing. And then being there, being a part of the whole race day experience, going to the drivers' meeting and seeing how they handled themselves on game day, and seeing the whole team work together as the pit crew, the crew chief, the driver. There's a lot more that goes into it than I knew of. And you know, I had a pretty good background of it. And when I showed up and just toured everything and went with different people and met different people and watched how they handled themselves, that was an amazing experience. But being able to wave the green flag at Bristol was a dream come true for sure. And to see all my friends and family there at that day and just supporting me, it was even better.
Yeah, definitely a highlight of the offseason, just like the fake field goal touchdown was. And I want to ask you about Father's Day coming up. I'm assuming you're going to go spend some time with your pop. You were telling me earlier this week about his work ethic, something that he really instilled in you. And maybe you can share with our fans just what your father meant to you as a leader of the household and the types of things he did to motivate you to get to where you are now in the NFL.
Yeah, he's definitely opened up every door for me. You know, as a child, he was my first coach in all sports. You know, he's worked at a paper mill and still working at a paper mill back in Kingsport, Tennessee for 35 plus years. He hasn't missed a day of work, never calls in sick, nothing. It's shift work. You know, one night's graveyard, another 12 days or something. It's all different every week. So he's definitely set the tone as far as blue collar for me. And, you know, my mother, she's been with me day in and day out, even in high school with college recruiting. She would be the one to take me everything because my dad was working, you know, and he wasn't around a lot because he worked so much. Summer baseball tournaments, he couldn't go. The reason we were able to go is because he was working. So, you know, it being Father's Day, I greatly appreciate what he's done for not only me but our whole family, and I just hope to be half the man he is one day.
Maybe Coach Harbaugh can hook him up with a perfect attendance certificate.
If Coach Harbaugh, I'm sure he would be very proud for sure.
All right, so we got 1 month here before training camp starts up. I know you're going to be focused on getting right for the grind of training camp. That's a big deal. Preseason opportunities to move up the depth chart and compete. How do you get yourself ready to go for a month off? I mean, you still have to enjoy your free time, but also get ready for the season.
Yeah, for no doubt. You know, just continue to what we're doing. As far as conditioning, working out, as offensive lineman, it's critical to work on your technique day in and day out, and just continue studying the book. You know, preparing as far as coming in and competing, you know, that's my mindset. I want to come in, I want to be the starter. And just me having that mindset, I know it's going to push Jonathan Goodwin to work even harder. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it helps us all. I'll go back home. It is wedding season, so I got a couple weddings to go to and be in. But
Your purple hearts.
Yeah, for sure. But no, just going home, relaxing for a couple days, and then I'll be working right back next weekend. I'm going to get back on the grind.
That's the word from Daniel Kilgore, third-year offensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers. Make sure to follow him on Twitter, at DanielKilgore67. He's on Instagram as well, at Dan Kilgore. Always posting some cool pictures, hanging out with the bands, enjoying some golf, doing good things out there. So, Dan, appreciate your time. Have a good off season, and we'll see you in a month or so.
Thank you very much.